TV.
As promised, ladies and gentlemen, I have here a special guest in Lee McGrew, and it is Waylon Babbs of South Florida. Many of you have seen him. He wasn't born and raised in South Florida.
No, North Carolina.
North Carolina guy. Many of you have seen him on a show that he did for a couple years, right? The Simple Truth?
Simple Truth, yes.
How many years did you do that show?
Probably two.
2 years. All right. We're going to get to that. It's a very important topic. We are going to get to that. But yes, I am in Lima, Peru, and Waylon said the same thing I told him back in 2012.
Yeah, I think so.
This is what happened. I had just come back from Colorado Springs, had a rough experience there. I was living with Clyde Pilkington, and Waylon had known about me.
Mm-hmm.
He'd written me years before. How many years before your first email you sent me?
Well, it was probably, we moved to Orlando in 2004, and my journey into the truth probably started in 2005.
And I'm going to ask you all about your journey into the truth.
So as part of that journey, I found your writings.
You found my writings.
And that's when I reached out, right?
And he reached out to me, and this is what he said to me. He said, Martin, I'd like to invite you to visit down in South Florida. And I said to him, be careful inviting me because I might take you up on it. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I did take him up on it.
Yes, he did.
Well, touche. I invited him to come to Lima, Peru, thinking he's not going to come. Here he is.
Here I am.
Here he is. I love that kind of boldness, and he's here with his lovely wife, Regina, and Maria and I have been enjoying fellowship with you. And I love the boldness. You invite somebody down, and sincere invitation, but thinking, I mean, you know, who's going to come to Lima, Peru? You.
Me.
You, an adventurer, an adventurer extraordinaire. And speaking of adventure, I'm going to ask you some questions. I want to hear about your spiritual journey, because a lot of folks here don't know you. They know of you. They've heard of you. I've mentioned you several times. But I want to talk about how you got to be at this table. And we're going to talk about some serious things. Now, what I want to do is I've promised the audience for 3 days that I was going to comment on, there's this Catholic gentleman that commented on my show about sin, about justification, and I was poking a little bit of fun. I showed you that video this morning.
Yes,
I was
poking
a little bit of fun at the Virgin Mary and the statue here in Lima, and I promised folks that I was going to comment on, his name's Colin Wablinski, okay, and he took great offense to my talking about Mary, and also took great offense to this freedom that we have. Mm. And so I promised folks for 3 days that I was going to comment on his comments, and you folks have made some great comments also. You rebutted Colin's remarks. But now that you're here, I'm going to take full advantage of you.
Okay.
So I'm going to, tomorrow, after people get to know you today, tomorrow you and I are going to comment together on this Catholic gentleman's comments. Because I find that sometimes when you look at, when somebody complains about the truth that we put out, I oftentimes find that by answering their objections, it helps us understand the truth even more.
Yes.
Right? Does that happen to you?
Absolutely.
Has anyone ever objected to the truth you've brought
them? You have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah.
All right. So look forward to this tomorrow, folks. Wayne's going to be here for a few days tomorrow. He and I are together going to look at Colin Wablinski's comments against justification, against peace with God, against non-repentance. It's not that we don't believe in repentance. It's just that in Paul's gospel, it's not required for salvation. And I made a comment yesterday. It was pretty radical. First time I've ever made a radical comment. is that what we have to repent of. Christian repentance, that's what we need to repent of. We need to repent of the theory that you have to repent of your sins in order to be saved. Now, I hope no one panics. Don't worry. I'm talking about justification by faith. We're going to get into more detail tomorrow with Waylon here, my sidekick. He's going to help me out. He's going to, you know, fill in some of the blanks. That's a great thing about having somebody on board. It's like, you can see things that I can't.
Sometimes.
I mean, it happens. So, all right. Let's talk about your spiritual journey. I know you were from North Carolina.
Yes.
And the last time I looked at my map, like, that is way in the Bible Belt.
It is.
So you were raised Baptist. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
Well, I was raised fundamental, independent Baptist, King James Bible only.
Wow.
Hell hot, heaven sweet, turn or burn, you name it, from just everything. If you enjoy life, you're probably going to hell.
You can't enjoy life, right? The Baptists do not enjoy life.
but that's how I was raised my whole life. I wasn't only raised that, I fully engulfed myself in that. I was teaching adult Sunday school at 16 years old.
Really?
So I knew, wow. I knew our system of belief, and I knew how we use the Bible to prove that.
Okay.
So,
yes.
You know, it wasn't like I was, well, I mean, I never went to seminary, nothing, but I spent a lot of time in studying what we believed.
Right. And you believed it.
I did.
You believed it with all your heart, and you taught it. Wow. Fervently. Yeah, you are. I know you, and you're a very fervent guy. You're a no-nonsense person. And when you teach, it's not ambiguous. I mean, you get right to the point. So, you were actually teaching free will and teaching eternal torment, these things which now we consider to be repulsive. How fervently did you teach those things?
Well, as fervently as any preacher would. Now, I never claimed to be a preacher. But you are. Well, I filled in for the pastor when he was out. I had a jail ministry. I did radio.
Really? Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
And like I say, I was teaching adult Sunday school at 16 in these topics. So, I mean, I knew our system of belief, and I knew how we use the Bible to try to prove that. And I heralded that as any good Baptist would.
That's the second time you use that phrase. I knew how to use the Bible to herald the company line, as it were. So you're saying that there's a system involved in the Baptist church, or in any church, I suppose, there's a system of how to bring out certain verses and kind of like ignore other verses?
Well, no, Martin, I wouldn't call it a system.
Okay.
I would call it a blindness.
Wow.
Because once I came into the truth,
yeah,
all of those verses that I read before that had no meaning suddenly had meaning.
But you read them all before.
I did, through the blindness of my religion.
For instance, as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, you probably read that 100 times.
I did, but the blindness had me say all those in Christ, because the way you believe, let's just say free will, for example.
Okay.
Free will, if I could use a good analogy here, free will is like a virus. Okay. It infects everything you read, everything you believe.
Wow.
So everything you read in the Bible is interpreted through that belief.
Wow.
You know?
Yes, I get it.
So it's not like a system. It ain't like I systematically tried to remove part of the Bible.
Got it.
I was blind to it.
Right.
It's a blindness that people can't overcome without divine intervention.
So everything came through the filter of, you know, that free will is right.
Right. Eternal torment, hell.
And you know it's right.
Exactly. And everything you read in the Bible, every thought you have,
yeah,
is interpreted through that lens.
Yeah, that filter, that lens, that prism, everything. Right.
And anything that doesn't fit into that lens
mm-hmm.
is brushed over.
How did
and
you do
maybe
that?
Not brushed over, yeah. you just don't see it. You somehow you either That's block it out.
Miraculous.
Or
really.
You interpret it in such a way. Right. It's hard to explain.
Well, in the case you just gave me, you interpreted it a certain way. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. You changed it in your mind to in Christ all. I just mentioned that
right.
on a couple of shows ago. I said that, yeah, I said that most people take that instead of Adam being the channel that reaches all and Christ being the channel that reaches all, in which case it would be as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. You changed it to all in Christ.
All those in Christ
yeah.
instead of in Christ all.
And you completely justified yourself in doing
it,
that.
Like I say, it wasn't intentional.
No, right.
It wasn't. It was blindness.
You know, that's a good distinction because, you know, I've come down hard on organized religion, as you know, and I don't want to imply that these people wake up in the morning wanting to be deceivers. Like, you didn't wake up every morning thinking, oh, I can't wait to twist the scripture and deceive
no,
people.
No, not even one.
Not in the you least.
Know, in fact, I mean, there would be many subjects within my own church that I would break away from, you know, because I had an independent mind, an independent thought of study, you know. Now, I did study the Bible systematically,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't study it systematically to omit something.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. I never intentionally tried to deceive anyone.
Right.
Okay. I was deceived.
And yet you just admitted that you had some kind of independent way of thinking.
I did.
What was the crack then? Because you're towing the denominational line for years, I assume.
Yes, my whole life.
Your whole life.
I was preaching on the street corner
really?
On the back of a truck in Kannapolis at 12 years old.
12 years old.
Yes.
You're preaching from the back of a truck on the street.
Yes.
Hellfire. You told people that were passing by what? What would you say to them?
Turn or burn.
You would literally say turn or burn.
You're going to hell if you don't get saved. Yes.
Okay. And your way of presenting salvation at that time was turn or burn, I guess.
Well, it was.
How did they accept Jesus?
It was going to hell is your default position.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay. Because you're born in sin. You're
yes.
born in the curse of Adam. You know, Jesus came and died for you so that you could escape that.
So that you now had the opportunity.
Right. You have the opportunity to escape that.
What, was there a rote prayer that you gave them? Was there a formula that they taught you in the Baptist church of how to get somebody saved?
Well, I would hear some people give them a prayer. Now, I would go down when people in church would raise their hand, yeah, I'm lost, and people would go down to the altar and preach would call me to come up there and take the Bible and try to show them. And I would take them down, I guess, what we would call the Romans road, you know, that would end in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay.
And I would just say, listen, in your own words, call on the Lord to save you and repent of your sins and he'll do that.
Well, that's pretty decent. I mean,
you know,
as far as the denominational line, that's pretty clear.
I mean, I never said there's a prayer. But you just pour your heart out to God and he'll listen to you.
Right. Which is true.
Right. Which is true.
It's still true. We believe you pour out your heart to God. That's
right.
Why people think that, okay, we've changed so much that we don't believe that if you pour out your heart to God, he hears you. Of course he does. The difference was back then, people's salvation was dependent on it. And the alternative was what?
Burning in hell forever.
And did anyone ever, I'm just really curious, I've never asked you this question, did anyone ask you any details about that? Like, did anyone come up to you and say, Waylon, my son or my daughter or my mother, my father, my grandfather just died and they were not a believer. Did you ever have to confront that? Because what I'm getting at is, where was the crack that started to cause you to think that I need to go a different way? So answer the first question first. Was there anybody that ever confronted you with that? Like, well, what happens in hell? What about my uncle who just died?
Well, I personally had an experience of that.
Tell me
about it. And I'd done a simple truth video on this. I think I even taught in a conference about this one time. I had a friend named Arnold. I worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
We were 14 years old, maybe, working at a seafood restaurant as teenagers do to try to make some money.
You're 14 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And he's 14?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we became very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, being the way I was raised, you know, I felt I was obligated to share the gospel with him to try to save his soul from hell.
Age 14.
Wow. And we became very good friends, hung out all the time. But he one day drowned.
Oh, God.
I knew he had never got saved.
Right.
Okay. And until the day,
wow,
I saw Jesus for who he really is, that tormented me.
Day and night. I mean, it was not far from your conscience.
No. I knew he was in hell right now.
Wow.
Tormented me.
My God. Yeah. Yes. How do you... I mean, you have to push it out of your mind most
you
of the day.
You have to sear your conscience.
That's it. Paul uses that term.
Your conscience.
Yeah. Paul uses the phrase, their consciences are burned off. It's like cut off. And yet yours was not completely cut off because that horror of that thought never left you.
Well, it never left me, but I never denied it. And that is not what pushed me to seek the truth.
I bet it was contributory.
Bet
it worked.
Not even a little bit? Nope.
Okay, tell me what.
I was moved to Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and I met a Mormon.
Okay.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I won't mention his name for the sake of privacy. But, you know, obviously, I felt obligated to witness to him. And
of course.
He felt obligated to witness to me, and we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we would have good adult conversation about scriptural things and stuff like that.
Right.
And on the side path of that, the church I was going to at a time, okay, behold the genius of God at work here, the pastor asked me to help study cults, okay, so that I could present a specific cult to the church.
Okay.
As a teaching lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what he assigned me, and obviously from a Baptist perspective, a cult is anyone that don't believe like you.
Yeah. Anybody that's not a Baptist.
Right. Well, or even some Baptists were considered cults. Like I was assigned Calvinism. You know, anybody believes in Calvinism was in a cult.
Okay.
Okay. So he assigned me Calvinism.
Right.
And obviously you're going through the tulip and you know, God's in charge, you know, the things that they have right, I'm going through that. But anyway, going back to the Mormon,
yeah,
you know, somehow, but this is the only thing that really burns into my mind, okay? I was talking about, you know, God gives you the faith to be saved. You know, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think it's Philippians 1:29, he's given you in behalf of Christ to believe in him and to suffer his namesake. Okay, so you know, he says, where's that faith from? I've said, God give it to you. Behold the genius of God. He asked me a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why come he doesn't have it?
Mm, yeah. How come he doesn't have it? If God has to give it, why do I have it and not him?
Why don't I have it? If God gives it to you and I don't have it, how can that be my fault?
Practical question.
It's logical.
And that was the first time you asked that question.
Well, yes.
And that was while studying Calvinism.
Yes.
So there was part of Calvinism that agreed with you because at least the Calvinists believe that salvation is completely, utterly, totally of God.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing inside the human that can respond to God.
Absolutely.
Okay, so man, the Calvinists hooked you. You were supposed to be proven it was a cult.
Right. Well, as I went through...
Yeah.
The study of Calvinistic doctrine. There are so many things about the Calvinist doctrine that is so easily disproven. You know, 30 minutes with a concordance and an open mind.
Okay.
That you can prove that the Calvinist doctrine isn't true. Okay. But in some ways, you're like, okay, either I need to turn Calvinist or there's another answer.
Mm.
Okay. And through my studies, I began to study, and like a light switch had turned off, turned on, I mean, I began to see Colossians 1:20. You know, wow. I began to see John 1:29. You know, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
You saw that on your own.
On my own. I began to see these verses somehow, due to some blindness, I never saw before.
Isn't that something? And you're reading out of the King James Bible.
Out of the King James Bible. Okay. Wow. Now, you know, say I've always looked at the Greek words and translation stuff, but I've always taught and studied out of King James.
Right.
A lot of the people where I'm from, unless you do that, they won't listen to you at all.
Right. You got to talk to them out of the King James.
Okay. So just like Paul, I become this so that I can win
them.
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. So I begin to see these things. And for about a year and a half, I quit teaching. I quit doing everything. And all I did was study. Okay. Wow. And I cried every day.
Man,
now the letter that I, you know, and so this obviously my family is brought up the same way, my wife, my kids. So I share this with my wife. Oh, that's when perpetual crap hit the fan. Okay. She didn't want me talking to the kids. She had never heard anybody believe this. You know, what are you doing? You're a teacher at church out there. What are you doing? You know, it was overwhelming to her.
Did she agree with you about the Calvinism part, that it's a God that has to give faith?
No, she never really got into
it. Never really got into it.
Yeah, you know, she let the men do the teaching. She was good.
Yeah, okay.
You know, she just listened.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. She had an independent thought, and she could signal something wasn't right because she knew enough. But
right.
You know, she let me study and do the teaching for the family. But once that light turned on, you can't unsee it.
And the first verse you saw was that one out of Colossians.
Colossians 1:20. You know, through Christ, God's going to reconcile all things to himself. Then you go over to Romans 8, that all of creation will be coming to the children of God. I mean, they just so much that all of a sudden I was becoming overwhelmed.
Yeah.
With this.
You couldn't unsee it.
I couldn't unsee it. Right. I was in quicksand.
Yeah, you were really, I was just going to say, you're stuck at that point. I'm
in quicksand.
Yeah.
So, you know, finally, I had given up. This is what I see. The Lord, without anything else, kind of took me this way. And then my wife challenged me, and I'm always good at challenge. I don't know anybody in the world ever believe this, and I never heard this before.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Touche.
Okay. Are you still in the Baptist church at this
time? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do they know that you...
Well, my preacher's got a sense that something
going on. They got a sense that something was wrong. Okay.
Okay. They got a sense because I'm challenging him.
Okay.
Obviously he had the same blindness I had. He couldn't see it.
Same blindness, sure.
But at the same time, he couldn't prove me wrong. Okay. And then my family, I had one of their preachers call me, and he was like, Waylon, and I told him, this is what I believe, this boom, boom, boom. And he even told me, he goes, Waylon, to be honest with you, I can't prove you wrong. And I studied this a while back, and it almost drove me insane. I'm like, well, preacher, the reason it almost drove you insane is because you was trying to make the Bible wrap around your beliefs instead of your beliefs wrapped around the Bible.
Oh, that is good.
Okay.
Yeah, you said it right.
And then through that, okay, nobody's ever believed this, I found L. Ray Smith.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, now obviously once I really started reading, there's some things about L. Ray I don't like, but free will, salvation, all, he's got
very
that nailed down.
Oh, yeah.
I found you, okay, and then I wrote you the initial letter where I had mentioned that I'm so afraid I'm going to lead my family wrong in this.
Yeah.
And you wrote back, as gracious as you would, and said, God's got all this in control, it'll work out, basically. And that's how I ended up inviting you down from that. But then my wife, like the light turned on for her too at the same time. Well, not at the same time.
Not exactly the same time.
That's not as true. That's
because
not exactly the same time.
As I recall, there was a time where she told you to stop ordering those Martin Zender books, right?
She sure did.
And you said you would stop ordering them because you're good. You're word and you love your wife. But I think if I recall the story correctly, you forgot that you had already sent for Martin Zender Goes to Hell.
I did.
And it was en route from the publisher via the postal service to your house. And then after you promised your wife, I'll never read any Martin Zender material again, she opens the mail and here's this book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell. You take it from there.
Well, the wife not only told me not to order any more books, okay? She told me, don't ever study this again. Don't ever talk to me about it again. And do not speak to the children about this.
Cool. That's tough, man.
Okay. We had gotten a big fight.
Yeah.
And I left to go do something. Well, while I was gone, behold the timing of God. Okay. Well, it's not why I was gone. A book came. She opened the mail. It was this. So she started fussing me. You made a promise, blah, blah, blah,
blah.
You made
a promise. What the hell is this? Martin Zender Goes to Hell. Yeah.
Big fight.
Right.
Big okay? fight. So I left.
What did she do?
She throws the book in the garbage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's cleaning the house. And then she goes, okay. So she pulls the book out of the garbage. And within 45 minutes of me being gone, I get home. She's like, okay. Handing me the book back. She said, we'll read it together.
Wow.
And we did.
That's an amazing story.
And her eyes was opened as well.
I love it. Thank God. Praise God for that.
Once the family got on, and like I say, I was so, well, I don't want to say this the wrong way. I was very well versed with the scriptures before this. So once I started seeing the small portions that I couldn't see before,
yeah,
it made a lot of things line up. So the transition, while hard, really wasn't that difficult.
Yeah,
it ain't like I had to restudy the whole Bible.
No, right.
I just had to see how these few things fit in.
Right.
You know,
yes.
And that happened pretty fast. So yeah. After that, I kind of dedicated myself to freeing people from religion. And so that led me to doing the Simple Truth, doing some conferences with you guys, teaching, you know, in other places. So that's kind of the story.
Because, yeah, I invited you after I found out, I heard this story for the first time many years ago. I was so intrigued by it and excited by it because of that seed that God had inside you. And you, just like the Apostle Paul, God did not take away his zeal. God did not take away his mind. God did not take away his logic or his scholarship. He just redirected it. So you had all this scriptural knowledge and you loved the word of God and you knew what a concordance was. So you're studying and you just had these key pieces missing. And like you said, you're on the back of a truck at age 14 preaching eternal torment. Like that takes balls, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a person who is dead serious. And Saul, if you don't mind, I can compare you to Saul,
no,
the Pharisee.
No.
Because he was just so versed in Judaism, and he was so in it, and he was so zealous for it. And the thing is, God didn't take away his zealousness. He just redirected it. He's the same guy, the same strong-willed, knowledgeable intellect that he was. God just changed him from Saul to Paul, and God changed you. Oh, my God, I love this testimony.
It's completely changed me.
I love the testimony. I mean, you are a freaking living letter of how God can change someone. And then the story of Regina, of how you, I think you told me that when she threw my book in the trash, you went to DIY or something. You're going to go look at some hardware.
I was going to Home Depot.
I'm going to Home Depot. I'm going to go look at some hammers and nails and something simple. And you got back not knowing if your marriage was still going to be intact.
Well, I mean, I didn't know what to expect.
You didn't know what to expect. I won't go that far.
Right.
But yeah, because that's not you and that's not her. But you didn't know what to expect. And to have her give you a big kiss and say, I think you told me she read it standing up after she pulled it out of the trash.
Just yeah. Just read, not read the whole me. Book. Just
yeah.
First enough. Little bit. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Let that be encouragement. There's a lot of folks out here who's, you know, their spouses are against what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no support whatsoever and they have antagonism. It's very difficult. It happens in a lot more families than we know. And I know many people out there are despairing because of that. And I guess your message, I'll take this away from what you're telling us, is that it's not over till it's over. Mm-hmm. It's not over till it's over. I mean, Regina went from throwing that book in the trash to 5 minutes later, oh, let's see what the hell this is. And it changed her. And you were changed more gradually, I think. But the seeds were planted with Regina.
Yeah, the seeds were planted with Regina. And like I say, when it started with me and I started seeing these verses, you know, at the end of the day, the salvation of all is probably and there's no free will and other things like that, is the sovereignty of God. All that's so easy to prove.
Yeah, it is.
Unless you're blind. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a year fighting that and trying to disprove that.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Till when I finally just give up.
What did Christ say to Saul on the road to Damascus? Saul, why are you kicking against the prick in the King James? The whole time he was a Pharisee, he was kicking something back. He was pushing something back.
Yes.
And he was fighting something, and the man wouldn't even be able to articulate what he was fighting. And then when the Lord introduced himself to him, he said, I am the one you were fighting. Oh.
Yep.
I'm the one you were fighting the whole time. God, that's the way with you and with me and with all of us. We were fighting God himself. But if you're going to wrestle with somebody like Jacob, wrestle with God.
Yeah.
That's the one you wrestle with. And when he's ready, like, I'll end this with Romans 11:32, right? Mm-hmm. God locks up all together in stubbornness,
right,
that he should have mercy upon all. Waylon, I loved your testimony. And this is why we're all going to encourage you to start up your show again. We need it. Waylon had a show for a couple of years called The Simple Truth. Waylon says he's a simple man, but he's not that simple. He's not that simple.
Pretty simple.
But I know what you. I know the way he means it. I know the way you mean it is that the same way I read the scripture. This is what it says. This is what God means. God means what he says and says what he means. And here it is. And you can present it in a way that people understand. So we haven't seen that show. I know you were busy with work, and you were sent to another country for your job.
Yeah, I lived in China for 5 years.
China for 4 years. How did the evangelism go in China? Good?
No. It was pretty stagnant.
Pretty stagnant in China? Yes, good.
Yes, it was.
I'm glad to hear that.
It was stagnant.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today. Pretty stagnant. So, okay, now that that's over, I would love to see you get that show back fired up, and I'll promote the heck out of it. And from what you folks have heard here today, I know that everybody would love to hear Waylon on a regular basis. Well, you're going to hear him tomorrow as we comment on some of the comments that I've recently received over the great truth of justification. I'd like to hear your thoughts on justification as well. In the meantime, from Lima, Peru, this is Martin Zender and my dear brother Waylon Dabbs signing off. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.